This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Whānau, it's me, the Triple SD. Welcome to this Deep In Sessions. How are you? It's the dead of winter in Aotearoa. The lights are out, the cold has set in, and it'll be a crime not to match the mood. Tonight, and over the next month, the forces behind UTM are taking over completely for four massive sessions. This is the camp backing the heavy, distorted underground of our scene. The architects of raw post-punk energy and unforgiving noise-drenched rock. We are unleashing four of their darkest and absolute heaviest hitters to completely tear the roof off. Don't look back. Come with us as we deep dive our sound from the underground. And first on the slab, we have Trauma Party, hailing from the mighty Waiheke Island. Let's get into it. Kia ora, Trauma Party. How are you guys?
Doing very well all the way from Waiheke Island.
We're awesome, Steve.
Excellent. This is the way. I've got some questions for you already.
Definitely.
Nice. So, you guys are based, as you just said, on Waiheke, a place the rest of the world views as serene, subtropical paradise of beaches and vineyards. Yet, you're brewing this incredibly sharp, claustrophobic, anxious post-punk out there. How does living in a literal slice of heaven fuel the grit and rebellion in your music, or is it a direct reaction against that postcard image?
It's a great question, really, and you're quite right. We are a slice of heaven that has a postcard image, but I think what a lot of people don't also realise about Waiheke is there's a tears of wealth, and I guess, you know, we've got as much poverty here as we do wealth on the island. We've got a diverse population. We've had people who've been here generationally a long time. So often, you know, beneath the veil of this postcard image or slice of heaven is something quite real that a lot of people probably don't or are not aware of. And so it's quite easy to be a post-punk fan or to form something in this kind of environment, because it's not all a slice of life here. It really isn't. The cost of living is really high.
True.
And a lot of people are on the bones of, you know, their proverbial. So. Yeah, it's quite easy. And again, Waiheke Island has one of the highest suicide rates in the country per GDP.
Wow.
Because we also have a lot of people here who are isolated, older, and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, when you bring all that kind of stuff together, the kind of diversity in the population we have, it's very easy to be something like Trauma Party on Waiheke Island in, you know, that slice of heaven.
Absolutely, and we have problems with housing, just the same as all over the world, from Barcelona to Queenstown. We've got empty houses everywhere, people using having short-term holiday rentals. I live in Surfdale. I passed two vehicles this morning, people sleeping in their vehicles.
Wow.
That was really cold last night.
Wow, it was absolutely freezing here too. So, and that's a thing that people never kind of think about Waiheke, because you know, it's perceived as this like jewel in the crown, the Tamaki Makaurau. It's like where all the you know, well-heeled go and play and flaunt. But, you know, there are normal people there struggling like all of us.
Yes. And they're often the heart of the island, to be honest with you. And
true.
This was a fringe place for people to live, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And it's what makes it quite unique. And it's also what breeds things like trauma parties, because it's actually a great untapped scene here, you know, as a bohemian type environment.
That's very true. Awesome, man. This is going to be a great interview. I can feel it coming. And I've got another stellar question for you. You ready for this one? All right, let's roll. So there is some incredible musical pedigree in the lineup, spanning legendary New Zealand glam rock and alt rock royalty, the Space Waltz, bluesy weight, and the deep underground punk history from bands like Dogtooth Violet. Plus, Derek Solomon brings his own massive sonic weight from his time in Canis and Evalis, among others. When you all sat down in the dirt track rehearsal space in early 2025, how long did it take to melt those different musical backgrounds into the specific grit wave sound of Trauma Party?
I feel like as soon as they said, just give us a beat on that very first day, it just happened instantly. For me, it felt instantaneous. What about you, buddy?
Yeah, I think probably the first song we did was Roll Up, and that was kind of a waltz, and kind of walking and going, oh, okay, our first song in three, and everyone's onto it, and it just sort of rolled off, and we had three times run through, we had a whole song.
Yeah, we had a precursor, right? We had a gig where Buddy and I were filling in for Ron and Kirsty's prior band at the Tuning Fork. So we'd already had a commonality in working together just to do that kind of show. And I think that's where the chemistry and the alchemy kind of came from. So by the time we hit the room and we had this 3-4, you know, song called Roll Up, which arguably I still feel is one of our best tracks, which was one of the first songs we wrote. I think that was the template for everything.
Nice.
It really was. Me and Buddy have a commonality in some of the earlier stuff that we've loved, you know, whether it be from early industrial things to other noise things. That was great. We realized this connected with Kirsty as well, and we had a lot of common ground. And Ron really came from something quite different, and so brings in these kind of angular bass lines, and it just kind of works, you know. And it's quite rare these days to kind of get into bands and have an alchemy and a chemistry immediately. And I think we keep persevering and we work really hard, because it's quite hard to come for this type of environment to come along and be so productive. And so we treat it with all the respect it deserves.
Don't you love it when the confluence of the universe comes together and you just kind of like all gel from all these different, like, you know, subsets and genres and experiences that you've had, and it all comes together as like this one piece of amazing art and creativity. It's a great thing. It's a great thing.
It is.
We'd also work together when we were in different bands to organise gigs and stuff. So we knew that we worked well together.
Yeah. That's always a good test of loyalty and workflows, eh? You know, because like you can, you know, as a creator, you're kind of out there like in the front, but as a promoter and, you know, like someone who's putting on gigs on, you're certainly in the rear with the gear, and there's not much glory to that. So, yeah. Yes. So the video for Speak To Me was shot inside the wall shed at the Waiheke Dirt Track, and it deals with some incredibly timely, heavy themes, specifically loneliness, social exclusion, and how vulnerable people get pulled into ideological extremes and misinformation. Talk to me about writing that track. How do you balance making a song a total dance floor banger while addressing something so unflinchingly honest and fragile?
I guess how it usually works is these guys come up with the riff stick it all together, and I'd go home and put a song over the top of it, and I just kind of was a bit annoyed with people who just keep buying into crap, basically.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, I'll believe this because I want something, and I won't bother checking my facts and that kind of thing. So it actually came together pretty quickly. Yeah.
And whenever, like, Buddy has ideas and gets writing, we're all on the same page, and we're all, you know, we're feeling the same feelings, and we're like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And as far as having that dance floor energy with such a deep message, I mean, that's how people get released. You know, they get released by singing and jumping around. And so, you know, any sort of heartfelt ballads or deep lyrical meaning, really, it does have a place on the dance floor.
Okay.
Yeah, Speak to Me opened things up for us writing, I think, because we began with Roll Up and thought, well, this is a fantastic template. And then out came this kind of glam bomb thing and this kind of Clash London Calling type thing for the song. And that, you know, I thought, Jesus, that is completely different to where I thought we were, you know, the trajectory was going.
Okay.
And so Speak to Me kind of opened things up, and we suddenly realised that we had a far broader side to us that could actually be nurtured along the way. So, of which I think is we kind of refer to as grit wave, isn't it?
I
love exactly what Derek said. Like, you know, yeah, we do put a lot of thought and work into stuff, but mostly we're just along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stuff kind of creating itself.
Okay. Well, you know, all props to Dionysus and the Muses, eh? Because you guys are definitely on that tip. I can tell. So there's a killer quote from the band's background that goes, apocalyptic times call for the fringe dwellers to unite, form bands, create art, and speak up. In an era dominated by algorithmic feeds, manufactured outrage, and digital noise, what does it mean to you for a live punk band to be a literal broadcast from the fringes in 2026?
I actually feel like the algorithmic feeds, they're the ones that are broadcasting from the fringes. We're right down in the centre. We're right down in the dirty centre of it all.
Nice.
We get out to the regions and direct to the community.
It feels currently like now that it is apocalyptic times. It feels like that there's echo chambers telling us, you know, there's 3 to 4 years left before there's 400 million jobs wiped from the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're being punched down on. So there's also this thing in the industry at some point where the whole game has changed in the music industry. And it's, you know, at a certain age, you were considered you shouldn't be able to play music.
True.
But we've now reached an era of the digital era where you can be, millions of little spheres of niches of music happening in your own little world at any time in any age. And for the first time in forever, you have complete control of what used to be held by gatekeepers.
True.
And so I think that quite kind of refers to no matter what age you are, just form a band, the camaraderie, have something to say and get out there and do it, because all you're hearing in the echo chambers is that, you know, things are getting worse, it's going to be bad, and, we're like, well, join a band.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Leave your ego at home.
Yeah, drop the ego. Yeah, and what I really love, and like, let's get down to contemporaneous, right? So I personally am late Generation X. Generation X, like, we are the forgotten generation. We were 100% DIY. We were raised in a strange time of old and new, and we had to lean into it, and we've always forged our own way forward. So what I'm really loving, and I'm seeing this with my cohort as well, is that now we've kind of done our thing, the normal things, whatever that is, you know, the career, the family, the blah 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 blah. Now we've got more time and we've got way more to say. So I really love that we're all coming out, you know, of our stupor, maybe, I don't know, and we're all out there pushing a voice that is real, raw, rugged, gritty, and absolutely timely. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, well, you know, we had an in-joke for a while, which is kids are not all right. And, you know, we were listening to some of the output and going, you know, there's a lot of pomp and hype around something that's actually pretty mediocre. And, you know, so you start to think, actually, you know, we can do this way better.
Yeah.
We have full control now. You know, you would think each generation that went along, stuff would get even more advanced and a lot better, but it just kind of wasn't.
I think you're right. Like, it's just a time to wake up from the slumber, whether it's turning off Netflix and going out to a gig or forming a band with your mates. Just get out there and just wake up.
Yeah. I agree. And, like, yeah. You know, in times of peril, as you know, historically, you know, we need creativity, we need art, we need, like, dissenting voices out there pushing, you know, against the tide. We need it. So more power to all of us and more power to all the creators out there in the Motu listening to this right now.
Yeah. That's right. And just at the tail end of that, I mean, Buddy was coming in with some highly insightful lyrics and, you know, he would just, I mean, even roll up, I mean, the sort of quasi sort of political thematic stuff of that with America, and you know, I just thought, wow, this is fantastic, man. And he's continued to come in with other stuff that really I think we kind of sit there and go, holy shit, holy, you know.
You can say shit, that's
and
right.
It feels like our voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we see what he's written, we're just, oh wow, that's our voice.
Yeah.
That's a powerful
thing.
You've
also got to remember your audience. You know, it's very easy to be difficult and clever, but at the end of the day, if I go out to see a band, I want to bounce around a bit, find a hook. By the third time the chorus comes, I don't want to be able to yell along if I want to.
No.
Yeah, good point.
It's, you know, it's just some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to be fun, eh? And that's, and like, you guys absolutely do that, and that's really, really cool. Really cool. So,
and we're really serious about what we do, but I mean, we're really serious about what we do. So we are, you mentioned the Generation X thing. So, you know, if we had any kind of ideology, it's really around, from the get-go, being a good live band.
Nice.
And we're a fantastic live band from the get-go. We work really hard at being a good live band. And we've got that sort of little tagline where we're, you know, we're up to take over the country with, you know, one dive bar at a time.
Okay.
But if you come and catch us live, our attitude is very much of the Generation X, which is we are a good live band first and foremost.
Nice. Well, I'm definitely going to have to catch you guys live then. I will do this, I promise. So let's talk about Sharks. Musically, it feels like the band is completely locked into this creeping rhythmic space where the guitars wiggle and tease. Lyrically, it paints a vivid picture of predators lurking beneath the surface as a metaphor for depression. How critical is it for the rhythm section to keep that groove relentless so the darkness of the theme doesn't completely swallow the track?
Yeah, like, I think there's a time and a place for the drums, and like, I can only speak for the drums. There's a time and a place for them to get fast and dark and open up the song and put the vocals out front. We've got this gorgeous, one of my favourite songs, Bad Things, really does that. But other times, you know, and post-punk has always done that. It's kind of happy in a sad kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
The lyrics show you what's happening and, you know, and that they might be quite dark, but soaring guitars and the driving rhythms show you the light.
True.
Yeah.
As a drummer, I totally get what you're saying, Kirsty. I totally get it. So, big ups to you.
Yeah. Well, Sharks was a prior song that Buddy and I had from another project that we were doing prior, and we kind of brought it over and. You know, Ron and Kirsty decided, you know, at a certain BPM and to really, really, you know, create that rhythm section thing, which really, I think, you know, cemented that song that Buddy originally had, which I can't remember what it was called, actually. It was something else, wasn't it?
I can't remember either. But yeah, it was just one that's been hanging around for a while, and then I think that practice, Kirsty said, let's do a dark way. And didn't really have anything for it immediately, so I just started singing that, and actually that's pretty good, because prior to that it had always been a slow song.
We never found a place.
We
jammed it out as a dirge, and Ron, he's such a hard worker, he sent through the bass line that we jammed out, But I thought it was a new bass line, and I was mucking around on the keyboard and mucking around with, like I made it 20 BPM quicker.
Okay.
And sent it to the guys, and they were like, oh, hey, this is cool. And I didn't actually realise it was already the slow dirge. And then we just, oh, Derek just,
yeah, and I mean, I took the guitar line from her demo keyboard line, and I thought, well, that just kind of works, you know. And once again, Sharks is one of those early tracks, like Speak to Me, that kind of opened up a whole, you know, aspect of sound that we didn't realise that this project was going into. And so we, you know, we often have in the live show large numbers like Roll Up, Bad Things Come to Happen in Small Towns, and some of the other stuff that's going to be on the album. They're really large, ominous tracks.
Nice.
So we really love to fuse it with things like Speak to Me and Sharks, which really lightens the load. And, you know, so everything's not all completely ominous.
And it's really needed. You've got to add that colour and the sonic yeah. Pastiche, I guess you could say. So the title of the EP, Because You've Been Good, sounds like a playground reward on paper, but when paired with your music, it feels more like a veiled threat or a dystopian corporate line. You also trade in these amazingly scratchy punk funk rhythms that echo early 80s Gang of Four. Why is that specific contrast between danceable grooves and harsh, aggressive critique the sweet spot for this band?
Well, first and foremost, could you write our bio for us?
I certainly can. We'll talk offline.
These are fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, look, Because You've Been Good, it is a kind of a... It's kind of a twisted little sort of... What would you say, buddy?
It's one of those things you say to kiddies, and that when you're going to give them something, whether it's, you know, as a reward, but you know, maybe it's not going to be a reward.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, you've got. Well, to be honest with you, the artwork. I mean, when Buddy first bought the artwork, and the first thing I thought about was the Sex Pistols. Actually, when I saw it, and I thought, you know, what a fantastic title for your first EP, really. You know. There's something called Trauma Party. The first EP is called Because You've Been Good. Yeah. It's got a little pill on the cover. It's got the, you know, that kind of vibrant thing like the early Sex Pistols stuff. And, you know, I just thought it all came together as one sort of creative thematic sort of thing. But veiled threat or dystopian corporate line, I mean, that's fantastic. You know, it is a veiled threat.
Yeah.
Because You've Been Good. Here you go, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It feels like that to me. It feels like this kind of like sort of GTSB Five Eyes kind of like threat. You, because you've been good, you can, you know, go to the rugby game tonight. Do you know what I mean?
That's like, right. And it is danceable grooves, and you know, with harsh and aggressive critique, that is most definitely the sweet spot for the band. And we've noticed that with stuff coming through, because in our videos we're trying to keep a good sense of humour about everything. And we've always, you know, we try, even with Speak to Me, we've used all of our fringe mates on the island to come together to you know, it's not like anybody had to dress up or anything, they were just themselves.
Okay.
And you know, it is the sweet spot for us, just having sort of abrasive music, really insightful lyric, and then you know, there's this kind of danceable groove thing about it.
Nice. That's really cool.
Quite flattering to be compared or used in the same sentence as Gang of Four, too.
Well,
yeah, or Wire, or yeah, it's great.
It's very well deserved, I've got to say, from my subjective, you know, I'm just calling it out. So you've already checked off two North Island tours, shared stage with everyone from Guitar Wolf to Lung, and dominated the student radio charts, all in roughly 15 months. Word on the street is that there is a full-length debut album on the cards for later this year. If the EP was the initial manifesto, what sonic territories or systemic anxieties are you taking aim at on the upcoming LP?
Well, there's a lot of songs in the live show that are going to be on the album. They're bigger, darker, more aggressive tracks, I think. But we've given ourselves the time, you know, with albums, I don't think there's any rush to put an album out, given the amount of content that's out there weekly or monthly from any other sources. But I think it's really important with albums that you get to a point in writing where you've got eight killer songs mm-hmm. and you're ready to do the record, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not putting out an album for the sake of putting out an album. We'll put that album out towards the end of the year, start of next year, because we've got eight killer songs
yeah.
that are going to go on that record, of which some are in the live show now. The Rule of Sedation, Bad Things Happen in Small Towns. There's another song called F Face, which is a swear word. I don't want to say in the podcast. That's right. And The City Shines. So these are all great tracks that have come along and they're ready to go on the album. So we're cooking that and we've started the record. But you know, like all good things, it should only be released and done when it's eight killer tracks. It shouldn't be rushed.
Yeah, no, I understand that. It's better to have like massive style over substance, right? Yeah. So
yeah.
So you know, like, yeah, let's segue a bit. So have you got any shows coming up?
Yes. Currently, we're heading to Hamilton.
Oh, wicked.
Yeah, Friday 24th of July at the Last Place.
I'll be there. Woo-woo!
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought you might be excited. We're bringing Stefan X,
cool.
who's been in bands like Hate Seeker. He's going to be doing a solo thing to open up. We're also bringing down the Death Spell from Auckland.
Nice.
The kind of proto-doom band.
Oh, yes.
And we've got Booth from Sticky Filth on drums with that band. We're all going to be staying in the same hotel, so it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be wild.
We've got a pool and a jacuzzi.
Are you going to throw TVs out the window?
What's that?
Are you going to throw TVs out the window?
And the following night, we're going to be at Asgard in New Plymouth.
Nice. Wicked. Well, if you're out there in Radio Land, Podcast Land, what, Friday 24th of July at Last Place? Yeah.
Yes.
Wicked. And I will be promoting this hard on my page, which is at Deep In Sessions with NZ at the end. So, to wrap things up, if the distant grit wave sound and dystopian bite of Trauma Party was a pie, what flavour would that pie be and why?
What a great question.
What a great question. Well,
you know, Gadrin, you would have been at school when you were a kid or when you went to birthday parties and things like that, and, you know, everyone got tucked into the pies and the sweets and then all bounced around and got overexcited and someone threw up.
Uh-huh.
we're kind of that pie.
That's a good pie. Yeah. That's a good pie.
We're the pie that gets regurgitated.
That is a good pie. That is a good pie. I like that pie. Thank you. Thank you very much for that pie. That's one of the best pies we've ever had. Trauma Party. Trauma Party.
Bring it back.
Oh, well, actually, I got, you know, I'll probably be the little kid who was like, oh, that looks interesting. Scoop it up and eat it. And then regurgitate it. But that's just me. Trauma Party, you guys are amazing. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I really look forward to everything that you roll out to this unsuspecting and suspecting listener public of Aotearoa and the globe. Thank you so, so much.
We really, really appreciate your
time. I really appreciate the questions. The questions are fantastic.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, I aim to go deep, as it says on the tin.
We'll see you in a few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
in this way. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Not sure about the choices we made. Seemed like a good idea at the time. I woke up happy and I go to bed hungry. There is nothing but misery in this way. Don't know why we came this way. Seemed like a good idea at the time. Not sure about the choices we made. Not even sure the decision was mine. I wake up angry and I go to bed hungry. There is nothing but misery in this way. I'm a little uncertain and I ask a question.
Are you there again? Are you there again?
sent a message through the water, coming down the stream. There is death in the debris, and you will feed on me, I know. In the depths of the frenzy.
Doing a joy way. What have I done? last of men. We are the broken faith. The soul is a lie. The mind is a ghost. We are the machines marching to the future.
Everybody join me.
Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.